In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary,
Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Our Lady, Queen of the Most Holy Rosary,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Edsa,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Victories,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Well, Father Chris, it's a pleasure to have you with us today to talk today. And these days right now, February 23rd to the 25th, is very important anniversary of a Marian apparition, which maybe you could tell our listeners more about what happened during these days 40 years ago.
Yeah, in fact, February 22nd, yesterday, started these days of what we call the People Power Revolution. And very powerful. I learned about it myself from being in the Philippines multiple times. I was barely in high school at the time and didn't really understand the significance of it. The only thing I knew, it started on February 22nd. And the only thing I knew about the Philippines and February 22nd was that was the same date MacArthur said, "I shall return," back in 1942. So 44 years earlier. And not only did he return, but Our Lady returns. And so I've been to the Philippines multiple times. I love the people. I love the culture. I love the faith. And they taught me about it, you know, what happened, what we call EDSA, this People Power Revolution. Mm-hmm. And what's amazing is it was a peaceful, it was mass protests, but it was peaceful. Held along a road or a highway. What is it, Father? I think they call it the Holy Epiphany is something.
EDSA stands for the Epiphany of the Saints Avenue, which is very okay. significant, I think, that, you know, all these, there are a lot of signs in this. In this story that, you know, here all these people come out on an avenue that's called the Epiphany of the Saints, you know, the manifestation of the saints. It's
Yes.
EDSA for short.
And so this was, it started out hundreds, then thousands and tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, then millions to call for the end of the dictatorship of Ferdinand Marcos, which I remember well from being in high school. Mm-hmm. So ultimately it resulted in the ousting of Marcos, restoring democracy. And then it led to the presidency of Corazon Aquino, who was a good Catholic lady who then ended up stepping in. So really, I think what's so surprising, it's considered one of the most famous nonviolent revolutions in modern history. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we need to think about Cardinal Sin at the time. He was the Archbishop of Manila. And his, you know, his role on the radio, you know, their version of social media today, right?
Yes, yes.
And he used Radio Veritas, which is a Catholic radio station. He called Filipinos and Filipinas to come to EDSA to really mobilizing millions in a peaceful way. Mm-hmm. And he did. He mobilized the public. That the protests stayed peaceful. And then even the soldiers refused to fire and the nuns kneeling before the tanks and the images and the stories are quite amazing. So yes, Father, thank you for keeping this memory alive.
Well, one of the things I think should be called to mind is that Our Lady didn't lead a revolution against someone who was a rightful authority. This was a person who Ferdinand Marcos had served his legitimate terms and then instituted his own dictatorship. And so then there was the assassination of Benigno Aquino, the husband of Corazon, who was coming back to run for president. And then they had an election and Corazon Aquino was elected president, but he refused to step down. So really, some people say that the soldiers who were leading this revolution, they weren't the coup. the coup was Marcos wanting to remain in power, and Our Lady wanted to see that this, and I think the beautiful thing about this, Our Lady didn't want either the guilty or the innocent to suffer or to be harmed, and that she inspired Cardinal Sin, who said that Our Lady directed all these events to tell the people to come out on the streets, but not to in violence, but to pray the rosary, which I think is so powerful.
And that was how it was described to me, Father, was here you have millions of people linked in arms, you know, in front of tanks.
Yes.
They offered food and flowers to the soldiers. You know, they urged the soldiers to not take violence against them. It was not a violent revolution. It was peaceful. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, the civilians in the best way, this people power revolution, because it ended his rule that self-imposed, like you said, after his term was over. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the crowds, you know, they're praying the rosary. There's so much power in, you know, when you pray the rosary individually, it's great. But when five people pray it, it's even greater. When 100 people pray it, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. When 1,000 people pray it, it's incredible. But when millions of people pray it, it's supernatural. And so that's why many believe that Our Lady appeared there, because the accounts say that, you know, the tanks, the government tanks advanced towards the protesters. Like you said, we don't think they were out to harm them. They were trying to, you know, do their duty. But it was explained to me that these nuns would kneel. They knelt in front of the tanks praying the rosary. Mm-hmm. And the soldiers claimed they saw a beautiful lady in white standing in front of the tanks. Mm-hmm. And they said it was the Blessed Virgin. And so the testimonies of the people that I met that told me about this was that the tanks stopped and the troops refused to fire. And so what an incredible story.
One of the things that I heard was that Our Lady actually spoke to the soldiers and said, "Do not fire upon my children."
Yeah.
And they did, where they were ordered to fire tear gas at the crowd. But both times when they fired tear gas, the winds changed and blew the tear gas back at the soldiers. So they decided, we better not do this anymore because we're going to get more harm than they. So there was a moment where some of them gave in to pressure and attempted. But when they saw what Our Lady did or the miraculous events that took place, many of the soldiers quickly didn't want to harm their own brothers and sisters. Yeah. So it could have been, I think, could have ended up very badly had not this been a Catholic country where people had a strong faith in Our Lady and the Rosary. And it's interesting, you know, I'm a, you know, in the Divine Office, we say that God's providence is revealed in history. I love that little line that's in the Divine Office. And I think that's important because before this, in the 1950s, Father Patrick Peyton came there and prayed the rosary, a large rally there that he had. Millions of people, I think, came out to pray the rosary, not too far from this place. I think in the park that's next door, Rizal Park, I think it's called. Mm-hmm. And that Our Lady, you know, kind of, with the help of Father Peyton, kind of fostered within the people this love for the rosary, and you can see that it really did take, so that 40 years later, almost, the people turned to Our Lady in the rosary, and as Cardinal Sin said, Our Lady directed all of these events, and you can see it very clearly from the beginning.
And Father, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was after the revolution then that did they build a shrine there along the EDSA that's they call it what, the Shrine of Mary, Queen of Peace, like Medjugorje, right?
Yes, Our Lady, Queen of Peace, or Our Lady of EDSA, as they also call it. Yeah. And it was a civil and religious holiday until 2023 when it was taken off of the civil calendar. But up until 2023, even the government was celebrating that event. You know, Father, maybe one of the things you could talk about is, you know, it's kind of like just another example of Our Lady intervening in history. We see the Battle of Ponto, where Our Lady was invoked. And of course, in that moment, the Christians had to fight a battle. But this is more like what happened in Austria, where the Soviets had controlled Austria, and the priest there was inspired to start a rosary novena to pray for that these communist Russians would leave Austria after World War II. And after he got like 100,000 people praying this rosary novena, it's the only time that the Soviet army left a territory without being ousted through violence or through war.
Yeah, I've heard that, and it makes perfect sense when we accept, or I should say, better than accept, we invoke the intercession of Mary. And that's what Cardinal Sin was able to do. You know, like I said, he used the radio. Today we use our social media, but he utilized the tools of the time, you know, to not just evangelize, but to mobilize. And and this is the power of group prayer. You know, I love the Filipinas. I always tell them everywhere I go in the world, I travel everywhere around the world now, I see Filipinas, and they're praying the rosary. And you know, they weren't just protesting on EDSA, they were invoking heaven. They were invoking Our Lady. And so that's the power.
Yeah, it was a big prayerful prayer gathering is what it was. And they were there for days, from the 23rd to the 25th. And so they didn't leave. That's one of the interesting things. They didn't leave. They didn't say, oh, it's nighttime, let's go home. They stayed in that on those streets, blocking the government forces from reaching out to the what they called the rebel soldiers, which were only a few hundred. The people stayed there as a wall between them and the government forces. And night and day, they camped out there. Fasted and prayed and somehow met their physical needs while they were praying and resisting in a peaceful way the dictatorship of Ferdinand Marcos. Father, you mentioned about the power of prayer. I think St. Louis de Montfort says that when you pray the rosary by yourself, it's like taking a little stick and beating the devil. But when you combine a bunch of rosaries together, he says it's like a rod beating the devil, like an army coming against him. And I think that's what happened there at EDSA. There was an army of souls attacking, of course, who the real enemy was, is the evil spirits that were behind this attempt to try and harm or to remain in power when one didn't have the authority anymore to be in power.
So, yeah, they didn't fight the tanks with weapons, but the expression that was told to me was they fought fear with faith. And, you know, Our Lady's always asked in times of crisis for the rosary. I mean, look at Fatima. 1917 was one of the worst years in human history. You know, World War One is raging. The Judeo-Masonic bankers took their first country in Russia. Margaret Sanger, you know, opens up the first birth control clinic in New York, and actually was in prison for 30 days. You had the Bolshevik Revolution, the Communist Revolution, and you know, what did Mary say to do? To pray the rosary. And so when nations pray together, that's so much grace. And so, you know, like you said, the rosary is not passive. It's spiritual warfare, but it's peaceful warfare. And it, as they said, the Filipinas told me at EDSA, the weapon was beads, not bullets.
Well, it's almost like what I think King, the king that came from Poland,
Sobieski,
when he came to Vienna, and he said, "We came, we saw, and God conquered." Well, the people came, they saw, and Our Lady conquered the forces of evil that day, during those days. And it's I think something that we should call to mind, because in our modern times, there's so much tyranny, that maybe we should look to seeing how to fight the corruption and tyranny of our day is to be done through supernatural means, because we can see that there's so much evil in our day today that we sometimes can throw up our hands and say, what can I do? It seems to be much more than I can do, but we can pray and we can unite our prayers together as a family of God, and it can be a powerful weapon against the forces of evil.
Yeah, in fact, was it Pius XII said that mankind is more sinful today than even at the time of the flood?
Yeah.
And, you know, he said that back in the 1950s. My goodness, what would he say today after legalizing abortion, redefining marriage, stripping religious liberty, changing genders? Mm-hmm. These are crazy things that have come in our most recent years. And so we have to respond. And so are we still praying as a nation? This is what we got to do. Mm-hmm. A miracle, God allows miracles, not just to awe us, but to convert us. And so really, if prayer changed one nation one time, it can renew our families today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the battle in Etzah was not political, it was spiritual. So let us learn from that.
Yes, and I there was a beautiful quote, I wish I could find it, that Cardinal Sin said that during that time when the people were praying it at those days at Etzah, that there was no distinction between rich and poor. They were all together as one, and that they were really saw themselves as brothers and sisters. And he said it seems that after Etzah was over, that they kind of went back to their old ways, which is sad. But he said for a moment, it seemed at that moment that Our Lady was showing that if we turn to her in prayer, that a lot of the divisions that are in our society or that are the conflict is due to sin, and that we need to turn to Our Lady to help overcome the evils of our day. Really, that is the one program that I think as a church we need to bring about renewal is, you know, praying the rosary as a family, as a parish, as a diocese. You know, I think so much more would be accomplished if we just started there, praying the rosary.
And that's the beautiful message that came from the Philippines. We have Amelia with us here. She's a great inspiration to be able to, even for children, even though she's growing up fast, for children to see that they too can partake in this. You know, this is not just an adult thing.
Yes.
Praying the rosary, this is for everybody. And so, you know, people like her can inspire many age groups and many generations.
Yes, even, you know, who did Our Lady appear to at Fatima? But three children, you know, at the time, the oldest was 11. So obviously children have an important role. Their prayers are very much appreciated and wanted by God. God wants the little children to come to him. So yes, Amelia is doing a great service there. We pray that that apostle will continue to grow. And it's through Amelia and her mother that I was reminded of this event at Etzah. And I had forgotten about it. And even though I knew about it when it took place, I didn't know the miraculous nature of it, I think, until I had joined the friars, because there were so many friars who were from the Philippines who recounted the story. And even some of our friars and sisters were there on that day praying at Etzah for peaceful resolution of that situation there. So, Father, I think, you know, we see that Our Lady is the mistress of history. You know, she's kind of helping to guide history to its ultimate conclusion, which is, of course, to the return of her son. And we can see in these events as well, don't you think, Our Lady is actively working through history, and that Etzah is kind of maybe another reminder and a model for how we should address future conflicts?
Yeah, it's even in our names. I mean, we're the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception, and you're the Franciscans of the Immaculate, right? Mm-hmm. Is that the official title? And so we are carrying that name, and We were the first men's community ever to bear the title, the Immaculate Conception. And so this is who we are by our identity. And I believe the Our Lady uses, you know, I've claimed at many talks that I believe there are two chosen people in the world today. And chosen people doesn't mean God loves you more than somebody else. It doesn't mean he's going to give you a break or a shortcut like other people. What it means is he has a mission for you. He has the Jews were the chosen people to teach the world monotheism. Mm-hmm. You know, to teach the world that there's one God. They were all polytheistic, you know, believing in all these different gods in the world at that time. But I believe strongly that there's two chosen people today, and it ties both back to World War II. You know, when this date happened, I mentioned earlier that it was February 22nd to the 25th, which was the day MacArthur said, "I shall return." It's almost like Our Lady saying, mm-hmm. "I shall return to the Philippines." And the reason why I believe that is in World War II, excuse me, no nation suffered under the hands of Nazi Germany more than Poland, yet no nation remained more Catholic than Poland. And it's almost like our Lord rewarded them for their fidelity in the face of such tyranny that they were given a special mission. And from Poland came Faustina, John Paul II, Divine Mercy, the Marian Fathers. But on the flip side, in the Pacific, no nation suffered. Some might argue China as a total number, but as a percentage of the people killed and harmed, no nation suffered under the hands of Imperial Japan more than the Philippines. Yet no nation remained more Catholic than the Philippines. And they, in fact, the bastion of Catholicism in Asia, they're the most Catholic. I think they're the only Asian fully Catholic country. Mm-hmm. And so God has rewarded them with a mission. So Father Chris, what do you mean by Poland and in the Philippines? Well, Divine Mercy came from Poland. Jesus said a spark would come from Poland to help prepare the world for a second coming. But everywhere I go in the world, how is Divine Mercy being spread? It's by these little four-foot Filipinas that are all over the world praying the chaplet, giving us the rosary, teaching about Divine Mercy. And I believe that they're the hands and feet that is spreading God, the message of Jesus Christ around the world. I mean, they're nurses, they're, you know, they're workers, and yet they're all over the world doing this. It really is an incredible mission.
Yes, they have been dispersed around the world. I met, when I was in Moscow, Russia, one of the, you might say, the backbone of the Catholic Church in Moscow is Filipinos who live in Moscow, which you wouldn't, you wouldn't expect to find Filipinos in Moscow. But my joke is that when Elon Musk goes to Mars, he's going to find Filipinos waiting for him and saying mabuhay. So,
you know, Father Dan, our former provincial, said, everywhere I go, I see Filipinos praying the rosary. I could go to Africa, there's Filipinos praying the rosary. I could go to Asia, there's, England, there's Filipinos praying the rosary. He said they could do another lunar landing on the moon and there would be Filipinos praying the rosary.
Yeah, their faith is definitely, they've become almost missionary just because of their being going out, because of maybe the poverty of their nation, going out for jobs and that. But they definitely have been given a special grace, I think, to be evangelizing in a way, just by their presence and their prayerfulness. And as you said, whether it be Divine Mercy or the Rosary, they are people who are very edifying and usually very Catholic. So, like the Polish, which we hope that they'll remain so, but
yes, they're being challenged right now, so let's keep them in prayer. You know, now the new threats are China threatening the Philippines and Russia threatening Poland, so we're back to two different nations, but the same kind of threat.
Yes. So Father, maybe as to sum up this time here with you, What points or what do you think we should learn maybe as Americans about Our Lady of EDSA?
You know, it was 40 years ago today that the Philippines showed the world that faith and courage, because it took courage, can really change history. You know, Our Lady, her favorite word, I always say, is if. You know, if we don't do this, then something's going to happen. Or if we don't turn back to God and stop offending him, then a war will break out. If we don't pray the rosary, then there will be, you know, consequences. But they're showing, the Philippines showed that heaven will honor that. So, you know, today the battlefield, yeah, it might be digital, but it's still cultural and spiritual. And the weapons, they haven't changed. Mm-hmm. They're the rosary, the truth, and trusting God. And that's what Divine Mercy is about, trusting God. Marian devotion is about the rosary. And you know, God's greatest mercy ever bestowed on a creature was the Immaculate Conception. That's where your order comes in, my order comes in. And it just comes together beautifully.
Yes, St. Maximilian Kolbe said that Our Lady's mission is revealed in her title as the Immaculate Conception, because it's under that title that she's going to crush the head of Satan. And St. Maximilian Kolbe says that in the future, Satan will be even more active or more powerful in his attempts to destroy the church. But he said, we can't fight him on our own. We need to unite ourselves to Our Lady and put ourselves under her Immaculate Conception by consecrating ourselves to her. So I think that that consecration and the rosary all go together. And I think that when we talk about a third chosen people that are very important in the history is those who are consecrated to Our Lady, no matter where they're from. They are ones that, as St. Louis de Montfort says, and even St. Maximilian Kolbe says, they will be the ones in the end times that will be victorious over the forces of evil. And of course, it has to be that the rosary is part of that. That has to be their spiritual weapon par excellence. So,
that's the new army, you know, get consecrated, because that gives you that designation of being, you know, a warrior for Christ. And, you know, like that, that bishop in Nigeria, Boko Haram was running rampant, and finally the bishop got fed up and begged God to help, and Jesus appeared to him. And the bishop tells the story that he saw Jesus holding a sword. And so the bishop was like, yes, it's time to stand up and rise up. And so the bishop went to grab the sword from the hands of Christ, and Jesus told him, this is your weapon. And he said, yes. And he went to grab it, but it changed into a rosary. So we know that is the weapon today.
Yes. Yes. Well, thank you, Father, for joining us for this little reminder. We pray especially for that what it took place at EDSA will be a reminder to all of us of the power of the praying of the rosary with Our Lady, and that she can overcome and make even tanks and weapons become useless in the face of her prayer of the Most Holy Rosary.
Yes.
Thank you.
And remember, it's always, as St. Louis de Montfort told us, to Jesus through Mary. Mm. Not to Mary instead of Jesus. It's to Jesus through Mary. You know, I always say, how did Jesus come to the world? How did he come to us? Through Mary. Yes. How should we go back to him? The same way, through Mary.
Yes. Yeah. Well, thank you, Father, for joining us. And God bless you and your community as well.
Thank you. And God bless you guys as well.
Yes. Ave Maria. Ave Maria. After watching this video, if you would like to grow in love and knowledge of the Immaculate Virgin Mary, consider a subscription to the Missio Immaculate magazine. The Missio is a bi-monthly magazine published by the Franciscans of the Immaculate for over 15 years. Every issue of the Missio features articles about Our Lady's privileges and her mission in the church and world for the sanctification and conversion of souls. The Missio takes to heart the ancient saying of the church, De Maria Nunquam Satis, of Mary, you can never say enough. You can subscribe online at missiomagazine.com, that's M-I-S-S-I-O, magazine.com, or go to the homepage of airmaria.com. Back issues of the Missio are also available upon request. The Missio is a practical way to behold your mother and take her into your home. Ave Maria.